and racist U.S. did not recognize this marriage here, because this is, just after all, a third world black country, and his marriage here didn't mean anything to them. And I refused. I refused again, as always, on the point of, well, we would rather die. And I think you need to know that's the kind of commitments I make, and you may not like that kind of lifestyle, but that's the kind of commitment I had to make. I said, no, we don't deliver. And then they said this, that, and the other, and so forth and so on. I said, well, finally what we agreed to do is that the embassy, they can be a representative, as long as he's not unfriendly, somebody that's friendly, has been not involved in the conspiracy, and an official from the Guyanese foreign minister, the Justice Department, can come here and see these young men on our property, and see and talk to them alone, if they want to, and find out if indeed they're where they want to be, and if they're happy where they are, and if indeed they ever want to see their parents again. Because I happen to know that what their parents has done has only ceased to cause them to hate them from the depths of their soul. It does that after a while. Anyway, that's what we agreed on. And even so, the conspirators, pushers, the foreign minister informed us, they might try to slip in here on their own. Might be doing it at the moment, you don't know. And what do we do if they do? Well, we don't let them in, of course. As I told him, I said, no, he said, what will you do if they come in? I said, they will not come in. Because to let them in means that we have to let in every filth and all the vile trash that may want to come in for the next 50 days, and we'll never get any work done. And we won't be able to provide our food to eat. And first, they ask us, because they have the nerve to insist that we pay their way in. I said, why? We're not paying their way in. If you want to come in, you come here. And one of the people, until I got a hold of Foreign Minister Direct, who's not so courageous, I said, if you want them to see their kids, you get your goddamn Air Force plane out and send it. You send it once before. Send it over here at the airport and land it there with two Air Force officers, and we'll have our people there to see that they're not taken away against their will, and let those two renegades, those lackeys, Uncle Toms, who joined a Nazi, of all things, and taking money from a Nazi. No money in their pocket. The foreign minister said exactly how much money they had. It was nothing. All they got out of this whole goddamn trip was just a trip, that's all. A trip. Hotel room and the food for the few days they're here. I think they had $40 on their person. So they didn't get any money to spend, but they sell out their children, try to destroy their children for $40. I'm not saying $40, but they sure didn't have very much money when you travel with $40. Because the foreign minister told us exactly. And I said, no, you bring in, we will not pay a dime. We've had it with this. We're not bringing anybody in anymore to see anybody. We will take care of our people. We will maintain them. But we are not paying any money to see evil relatives. And they got some Edith Beber or Bibber. Some bitch, I guess she's a sister of Sister Edwards, what's your sister's name? Edna who? There's another name, Edna. What's a damn name? No, I know, but that's not the name. Somebody find out what the name is. She wanted you delivered so she could give you the message. I said, knowing your heart, I said, oh, no, you're not delivering anybody to give a message. If you want to give a message, you can send her the message, because that's what she'll want. But it's so smart that they wouldn't even give it to the United States Embassy to give to you. so assured they are. They've got the backing of some pretty right-wing capitalistic elements. And I think you need to think about what you will do and how far you will go. And I think you need to face reality. I'm of the opinion that the stronger you manifest your will and determination, the more likely you are to survive in this crazy world. I have not been able to get through there by talking sweet thus far. Not even the people that are socialists. They get a little afraid at times. And I say, well, just tell them that's what it is. You got to deal with us. That's all. You got to deal with us. Say, well, we got a real problem because if they are not able to come into this part of the country, then Guyanese will be able to be denied to go into other parts of the country. I said, well, I'm assured right now that there may be in theory, Guyanese can go any place they damn well please, but Guyanese don't get visas to the United States all the time because they're black. And so I said, I'm not into that face of it. I'm just saying what we can live with. We do not open our property to that kind of people. If those children wanted them to come here, we'd let them come. They don't want them to come, so they're not coming. And that's the way it ended up. After hours of yesterday and hours last night and hours today, it finally, beginning with the early hour of the morning, it ended up that way. Finished giving a telephone message to send in by John Ed about 7 o'clock in the morning, and he took that in. And then no sooner got through, they got their phone, and on we went to the radio, and we were on the radio all afternoon until it was just now going on to another subject. It's that because that was temporarily laid aside. Edna Beaver, is that she's using another name, huh? I don't know how you plan your life, but everybody, even though they know that will and determination can win many a victory, how many plan your death ever? Well, there's no great mumble. How many plan your death in different ways? How many plan your death? You never plan your death? There's a number of you that do not lift your hand and say you plan your death. You don't ever plan your death? You're going to die. Don't you think you should plan about such an important event? Well, I see some. I'll just call somebody. I don't see their hands up. They're not planning their death. Lois Ponce, I don't see your hand up. Don't you plan your death? What's that? I want to hear. I can't hear you. What's that? She heard. The mic's limited stretch.
I always plan to be blown in a million pieces. Thought that would be the best way to go up, but I don't think it would happen here.
Well, I'm talking about planning your death. I don't care how you plan it. You may not plan it the way I plan it, or you may not plan it the way your comrade plans it. Then, in other words, you have planned your death at times. You've planned your death for an operation, and some kind of operation, and the best way you'd like to plan it would be to put your body in a million pieces.
Yeah, blow up something with it.
That's a very realistic plan. How many plan their death? I'm not trying to. Some people, Sister Tally, don't you ever plan your death? You don't plan your death, huh? You don't? Well, I think you. I'd like to know what is the reason you don't. Maybe it's a mistake, like. Because some people were looking over at Sister Lois, so I thought I'd ask you, but I'm certain I'd heard her talk about dying. You don't ever plan your death? You don't. And why don't you, dear?
I don't know. I just hadn't thought about it.
Well, don't you think it's time to think about it? What was that, May?
It might be time, but I just hadn't thought about planning it.
Well, it's a shame to have it to be an accident. It's a terrible thing to have it to be an accident, like I saw my mother, and in many ways your mother, to be wasted and just laid in a box. I think that's a kind of a waste, don't you think?
They had only one time, and my husband just quit paying it, and I didn't have no money to pay, and I just let it go. I hadn't thought no more about it.
I'm not talking about insurance. I'm not talking about capitalizing on your death. You're a beautiful woman. You've given, your babies have been dropped by the enslaver, yes, honey, restroom, okay, that's sweet. I'll sure have. You've shown great courage to take what you did from the man. I'm not talking about getting an insurance policy to help somebody. I'm talking about planning your death for the victory of the people, for socialism, for communism, for black liberation, for oppressed liberation. Haven't you had such thought? Haven't you ever thought about, as the sister said, taking a bomb and running into a Ku Klux Klan meeting and destroying all the Ku Klux Klan people? I wish you people would fix this goddamn thing between sessions. It would help. Go ahead, because it's very difficult to communicate, and all you people back there better not be looking at any babies, because I'm really going to be watching you tonight. I'm going to really watch you. You get to fuck with it, huh? Because I have to plan every day. Indeed, Billy and Bruce are more my children than yours, but they shouldn't be. To me, Billy and Bruce was like sending my kids into that depraved, which they call King Kong, King of the Cons, that black attorney that's been a sellout to white folk all through the Bay Area. Who had the nerve to threaten me, I'll make a good story, a good show on you, if you deliver them. Nobody will ever know. And if you don't deliver them, I'll give you a terrible story. I'll see that you are blasted. And I said, kiss my ass. Okay. Now, Mother, haven't you ever thought about that? Haven't you ever thought about killing anybody?
Vexed enough to do that.
What is it, honey?
I say, I have got vexed enough at time to do that, but it soon goes away.
Well, I've thought of it a number of ways. Peace. Can we do something with the motherfucking thing? Or is it possible? You had a question, did you, Maya? A lot of my irritation, just tiredness. I've had no sleep. Maya, you want to ask the question, sweetie?
What does planning your death mean?
Well, it's just like I said. Like Lois said, if she's going to die, she'd blow herself up. But she'd take some people with her who were enemies of the people, who were racist or Ku Klux Klan, or fascist. I'm sure all of you know what Ku Klux Klan are. Nazis. March around and kill Jews and kill black people and put them in ovens to burn them alive. Snatch children from parents' arms and throw them in fires. They did that in the last war. Millions of children. And now they're growing again in the United States. No sense at all that you got that plan around the corner. Believe me, you'd know the difference if you'd been with us through the siege. Through the state of siege, you would have known the difference. But I think that a healthy person has to think through his death, or he may sell out. if he hasn't thought through his death. And I don't mean just vaguely, or just past your mind. I mean thought through your death. I don't mean dying in a bed with heart attack or cancer. But I mean giving your life before you had to die. Because after you're 19 years of age, you're dying anyway, you know. Your cells are not reproducing as fast as they are dying. So if you're over 19, you're already dying. And a lot of people, it happened before they were 19. More cells die than you create new cells. So you start dying at 19. Whatever faculty I've used to reverse it, it takes a hell of a lot of cooperation with me, and most people are not willing to cooperate that much to reverse it forever, if indeed that's possible. I know I've brought people back from the living dead, I mean the literal dead, I've seen that. But I've never seen anything on earth. No, I know there's nothing exists at this time. If it were, it would be in me, that can take somebody back and then throw the calendar back several years and take lines out of their faces and give them smooth tissue. And more so here, you can see people when they came from the States, yes, restroom, when they came from the States, they look so bloated, and here they look younger. If you look around, a lot of people look younger, particularly after they're here for a little while. They look with a new glow and healthiness to their body. I've thought of things, of various kinds of things. You know, I've thought, well, say the government were to be taken over. Say the government were to be taken over. What would I do? What would I do? Well, how could I best serve you? I am so realistic that I know that in the world of international politics, the way they've portrayed me and the way my own operation is so cleverly and intelligently put together with our own secret archives and our own intelligence services, that someone might say, well, he's really CIA. Not anybody knows me. You live with me, and you don't go through this kind of shit for CIA. See, that's how we can be pretty well sure we don't have very many plants in our organization. You work the fuck out of plants. Plants wouldn't last as long. They don't get enough pay to come into people's temple and be a plant very long. If they're a plant, they'll do like, you got to watch the lazies, like Mrs. Myrtle, who stayed away from the operation. She never worked. Never got, Deanna always had somebody working, but she never worked. Or Tim Stone, you never could put your finger on his work. As Al Cheddar said, I think, weeks ago, he always saw him walking downtown in church tonight. He was always going someplace. You never saw him set in a service and go through it or to counsel very long with people. He didn't do that. Those are the kind of people you got to really watch. The lazy ones that don't ever work. Because that's your plant. But a person out there in the field day after day and working all kinds of jobs and sweating, that individual is not going to be a plant very long. Because they're not paying that kind of wages anymore. CIA used to pay some wages, but now they don't pay enough. They give you a hotel in Pegasus in 4 days. That's all the goddamn Olivers are getting out of this mess. That's cheap pay. Now, ain't nobody going to work out, even though we know why we're working, and it's a beautiful challenge to work, because it's our land, we can build something out of it. And we're gambling against time. We're gambling that the way the world's going, there may be a nuclear war before they ever get a chance to get to us. If they do, we got it. We got it made. We'll run this entire Northwest region. We'll move out quickly and recruit the population and take over and distribute the wealth. The few here that are not quite just, we'll make them just. I mean around us, you see. Some of you will have to develop leadership, because we could take over the Northwest, and we'd be the rest of our children's lives and your lives, you wouldn't have to worry. And that's quite possible that can happen, but you don't just sit back and say, well, that's absolutely what I'm living for, because something else might come along. And, you know, you're foolish to plan that everything's going to work out just like you'd like to have it work out. But I one time got so at the low position, I thought, well, what will I do? Got all the people here. I've always, a million times I've planned my death. Jesus Christ, it's an everyday affair with me because I have to. I love you, and I've got to make that. I thought, now what could I do? There's one chap that, if his mother was like an ordinary human being, I didn't know her as a savage, the one that made me have to go to bed with her because she was threatening the cause, threatening to lie and to leave Tim Stone and do all kinds of hell. And he asked me to do something, and I did, and I have a lovely, lovely baby, a lovely son. If she were like an ordinary woman, I wouldn't have all this battle, you know. Wouldn't be a battle. If I were in her position, I'd step out of the life. If I could look and see him over there as happy as I see him here with all of his friends, he wouldn't take me a snap of the finger. I would pass him in the street, and he'd never know who I was. Because I would want his happiness. He's an obviously happy lad. Our children are pretty happy, as the most part goes. They got animals. They got life. They got nature. They're the happiest that you've ever seen them in your life. They play. They got room. Up to a pretty high age, you can safely say that they're happier than they've ever been. They can look at birds, and they can get around all these kind of rare tropical birds, and that toucan is so tame. If you go up to him, be real gentle with him at times, he'll play tug-of-war with you. I've got him trained, so he'll play tug-of-war with you like a dog. He's so, can't feed him because you get him sick, and some people want to give him the wrong thing, but he's so tame, he's so gentle. And he'll take his old beak, and that beak could just cut down on your finger, and like, you know, I first cut my finger, and like a razor blade, but now he'll play tug-of-war with you, and he'll go, it's like a dog takes a rag. Lovely thing. You never got a chance, some of you, to ever grow up with anything. That little monkey riding around on this arm or that arm. I saw him a moment ago down here, and he's jumping around there. Sloth, you'll see it from arm to arm. That's what a wonderful thing for children to have such an opportunity. All psychiatrists say that that's what makes children healthy, to become in contact with animal life and nature at an early age. They become normal. They learn how to love. They learn how to love through contact with animals and pets and caring for things. And then the anteater, which is as acute as he travels behind somebody, they don't pick him up. And the other day he was going through the rice tents where I was working, and Beverly didn't move fast. Charlie was, I think, relating about it, and it was funny. He was going after Beverly, but Beverly kind of eluded him, and he was hunting for any leg, and he climbed up some dear lady's leg. He just, and the dear lady took it pretty well, because and if you listen to him as he travels along, he goes, he just growls. He doesn't bite, but he just gets so pissed when somebody won't pick him up and hug him. He follows along. You can listen to him as he goes along. When Bev lets him down, he goes, and an anteater that's supposed to teach us how to kill ants, and he won't go near him because he took one red ant, and that was it, and now he wants milk and honey. What's that? Oh, yes. Maybe we can slip a few ants and retrain him. I don't know. But he's got a tongue about a foot long that can reach out and get all those ants. But he just, I don't know, is he doing any ant getting? I haven't seen him do any ant getting. I know. One night he got some red ants in his nose, and that's it. That's the finish of it. He said to piss on this, he let the humans take care of the ants. But a beautiful world for children. And if I had walked by, and Grace was sitting here, and I had sitting over there in the States, and I saw this, I love so much, I'd say, God, I wouldn't bother him. A year and a half, he never mentions her. He doesn't know her. Maria's his mom in his mind, and she is his mom. He never mentions her. A loving parent would forget it. And then all the things she put him through, Jesus, the things he's told me from his heart, how sad he was. He was so sad before he got over here to this happy place that he hung off the balcony of our church when he was with her and was going to drop. At 2 years of age, said, I want to die. Because she'd say things, very cruel things to him. When she couldn't get me to marry her, the next day she took up with this man, Smitty, to try to goad me and hurt the child, because I always tried to hurt the child, hurt me. She knew she couldn't hurt me because I'm a zero she'd try to hurt him. She'd say ugly things. She locked John in a garage and went into the next room and made all kinds of sounds and talked about having sex so he could describe it all. He heard it all. No use for me to not talk about it because he talks about it all the time. He's got it all down there. It'll never go out of his mind. But you see, that leaves a big burden on me, because to give him up is not just like giving another child, or even maybe some of your cases. Your children are not really here. Their minds are still not with it. John hates capitalism. He talks about socialism every breath. He learned, I heard him talk, and a lot of other little kids talk about capitalism. How would an Amos boy do? Jesus Christ, how would he do with capitalism? All he knows is socialism. He talks socialism. He thinks socialism. Some of these kids would be dead. And so I've made up my mind long ago I would not deliver him to her. And that's what she's constantly trying to do, getting court orders, threatening me with this, that, and the other, and trying to get racist judges to go along. And I said no, just as I said no about the Ponce girl, and I said no about the Tuppers, and I've said no, I don't know hell how many no's I've said already, Jesus Christ. But they're still going to push me on that one because they know that's close to the heart. So they'll try it again. They'll try it again. Even though the government has made a firm stand, they'll try it. And Stone is so wicked and so embarrassed, I guess, that he had to ask me to save his wife from committing treason. It would hurt him more than it would hurt me. Probably guilt-ridden down deep in his mind that he was a transvestite running with women's clothes on up and down the streets of Santa Rosa, that I don't know whether he did it to get my attention or not, but it ended up doing that, got my attention, and so I had to go through hell to get him to be a normal homosexual rather than an abnormal person wandering up and down streets in women's clothing. And that was hell. I would have rather died. So perhaps he can't stand that debt he owes me. Probably so. Nobody likes a debt. I find most people, Partak, stay with it if you can. Nobody likes a debt. They just don't like to be indebted to anyone. You ever watch that? They don't like it. Don't want to deal with it. Mm-mm. I feel debts to some of you. Not only do I love you, it doesn't make a difference if I love you. I love you. I feel debt when in the moments of insecurity, Rita McIlvain gave me her son and got her hands off him so I could rear him, because she knew it was impossible in that family-oriented environment. Here, it don't make a damn bit of difference. She can be mama, I can be daddy, he can have four mamas, he can have five daddies, if you follow me. But I feel debts to people who have stood up. And it really wasn't for me. Nobody's ever done anything for me, because you can't do anything for somebody who wants to die. You really can't do anything. But I never would stomp over people. But most people, when they see, shift please, when they see a debt, it gets too heavy, so they start looking for every way out. And they'll find a little fault, they think, and they'll magnify it and magnify it and magnify it, and they build it into a hated passion. And then they can't put out Jim Jones's life. That's why they try so hard to kill him. You can't, once you know Jim Jones, you've got to, something in you basically got to know that this guy is unusually committed to people. He cares beyond, after all, you just don't risk every day dying like I did today for the Olivers. You don't do that. Nothing in it for me to do that. And then go on living. You can say, well, he wants to die, and so he does it. But I don't get to die. I have to work out to get to live so they can get to live. You see what I'm saying? And it's hard to get around that. You've got to say, Jim Jones really fucking cares. And that's what's trouble with Tim Stone. That's why he's going to keep on persisting. I'm on a collision course with Jim Jones. And then one day, he's the best man I've ever known. The next day, he's on collision course because he don't want to go to jail, too. That's his narcissistic ass. He don't want to go to jail. So he sold out for a few bucks. And he wants to come over here even and to try to goad me. He knows that before I would give him
when he told me he was attracted and felt sexual feelings to John. And I know what she does. She admitted to many of us she felt sexual feelings. He did too to many of us. He had sexual feelings. I mean, sublimation, sexual. You see him as a sex object. And no way. He knows I won't give him that child. And why are he and Grace both pushing? They want me to die. Because maybe if I die, and even if John dies, they won't have to remember anymore. That's how wicked people are. It's the old feeling that out of sight, out of mind. I won't hear about him in the paper anymore. The dead tell no tales. Put him 6 foot under, and I won't have to worry about it anymore. I won't be haunted. Their memory won't come back. A lot of people like that. There are folk right here who want me dead for that very reason. Try to kill me. Get me out of the way. Don't want to see him. Part of you hate me, but another part of you can't help but admire me. You hate me because I require you to be good. I don't know that anybody admires me because you don't want to make the sacrifice that it takes to be like me. But anyway, I'm a trouble to you, and I wish you'd all watch me right now. Because I get very eerie when you don't do it. Not because I give a goddamn about me, but it's when you cannot respond to this kind of truth, then there's something lacking in you, and that worries me because I got to overcome that lack in you because you might hurt yourself or one of your comrades. So at one stage I thought, well, what the hell will I do? Take the whole group over mine? No. I'd get on the radio. Because some of you get exactly what you want. Some of you want to go back to your old world. And you want to go back to your old world. You'd like to go back to your old world. It's in there. It's in there. It's that old world is there. You don't want the principled life. You don't realize that you're going to die if you're unprincipled. And it's an awful unpleasant die to die unprincipled because you certainly die alone when you don't have any principles. Wake up, Bertie, please, if you will. Anyway. So I made up my mind, I'll get on that radio and I'll say, okay, folks, I've had it. You people have pushed us, you're trying to push us, and maybe it's an Oliver case or whatever. You finally, I won't be able to get the government to stand up to the United States, and like I have every time now, and every time I backed them up the wall, and they've always backed me. You know, because as always, they say, he made the remark, the foreign minister, he's like a tree that's like standing by the water. He won't be moved. I don't like that, but he won't be moved. He said, I don't know how to handle it. He didn't say he didn't like it. He said, don't know how to handle it. And as sure as hell, you don't know how to handle me. Nobody on earth knows how to handle me. Because when somebody's so principled, they're ready to die, to snap a finger, you don't know how to handle it. And that's what I want to build in you, that same kind of character. Partai, can't you possibly stay awake? You might come out of your self-centeredness. Okay, let him sit down. So I thought, I'll get on there. If I die a heroic death out here, fighting off somebody coming after the Olivers, I'm just using that. I don't have to because the Olivers are not going anywhere. Then half the people are going to die. But half the people still be alive. Right? I'm just telling you one plan. I'm not saying it's the right plan. I'm just kind of giving you a plan. One of the plans that went through my mind because I was in a hell of a crisis that you didn't know. Because I don't bother with every crisis. I pass through them and get the victory won and don't worry you with it. I thought, well, the best thing for me to do is take care of mine and suggest strongly to those that are grown, that are my kids. Well, I'll tell you the whole plan. Get on the radio and I'll say, you want a bloodbath? I'm talking to you now. I know that Jim Jones too hot to handle. The press has made him a very hot potato. And that's an advantage I've got. They've been the most attacks on me. Now, please stay with me, fuckers. I'll watch you close tonight. Jim Jones too hot to handle. Too hot to really to give to Russia. Too hot to give to Cuba. Bring them problems in an international relationship. So I'd say, here, I want my people to go to Russia. Peace. If you don't, Russia, you haven't got the stamina that you say you have. Cuba, you haven't got the stamina. You haven't got the courage. You haven't got fortitude. Because you're not getting an explosive situation. You're getting, Jim Jones will be out of the picture. Because I'll take care of Jim Jones. And being that there's no way I can do anything for John but take care of him myself if you follow what I'm saying. Because I have no legal way otherwise except the backing of this government. I'll see that he is not put over to a woman who said, I hate him, as he told me the other night, and told when he put, she shoved his hand in mine, you have him, he's yours. Well, he's mine. And that's the way she feels. I'll gladly take care of him. He's beautiful, he's mine, and I'll take care of him. But as I said, I'll get on there and I'll say, now you, I'll deliver you, release you from the hot potato of Jim Jones. And I would suicide because some of you, that would give you the out you want. Yeah, that'd give you the out. Because then you could go back to state and say, he committed suicide. Not realizing that I cared. Because there'd be some that wouldn't want to go to Russia. Right down tonight, the goddamn ship rolled up here. And we get a freighter that we're bargaining on December 29th. Take us all to Russia if we want to go. There'd be some of you wouldn't want to go. But if I were out of the picture, then we'd find out those who really want to go back to the United States and those who are communists and really want to go where the communists are. You see what I'm saying? That's the kind of planning that takes to think about, if you love, if you care. Whereas if I met them on the front lines over the Olivers, that way I could get the Oliver kids to Russia. I say, you take them or we'll meet you on the front line. The Oliver boys don't want to live with you. They want to be communists. And you let them go. And I want to see that every one of them are taken out of here. And I want Russians to come and get them. I want to see it's done. A lot of implementing that I won't go into here. A lot of implementing that would assure that they'd get where they're going. Then all the others want to come to America. Let the Americans come in here and get them. Old people that act like they don't, never have been happy here, never have been happy trying the socialist life. If there's some that want to stay here and struggle it on, they could stay here. But I'm talking about in a situation where the country was wavering and it's small and it just couldn't face the resistance and the nuclear war wasn't close enough that it didn't look like, because if you miss a nuclear war, best place in the goddamn world. I mean, if a nuclear war comes, no nuclear war ever strike here, no radiation, and you've got absolute, the best places, as all your survivor handbooks tell you, best place in the world to be lost. Got to be lost, make it down in South America. Nuclear war, best place in the world. Coming ice age, best place in the world. Best place in the world in term you don't get cold. It's awful for old people to get cold. I read you a news article the other night. Wake that person back up there. Now, they asleep back there. No wonder you. Somebody asked you a question. You don't stay awake. Who got smart ass with me? I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Brother Moten. Who was a smart ass? Well, I'm not talking to you, so. Well, I bet if I asked you what I was saying, some of you wouldn't be able to tell me what the hell I was saying, even if you say you aren't sleeping. So I could get those by taking care of the one responsibility I've got, because my older ones, if they didn't want to go on to Russia, if they didn't want to be communists, they didn't feel like the world would be safe without father, they could say, Father, Dad, I want to go with you. And I say, okay. I recommend you try it, because you've got your mind, you've got your future. Soviets are going to win. Communism is going to win. But Jim Jones is a hot potato. The press has smeared him and smeared him and smeared him. But in that, there's a great advantage. They smeared him. But they've not smeared too many others. So you are just decent, ordinary people. Ordinary people that they'd have to take under those circumstances. They wouldn't be yielding to a hostage, because I wouldn't be holding anybody hostage, only myself. Are saying, if you don't do decently by my people and give them a chance to freedom, then I have no choice but to meet you on the front lines and we will stand here and dare you to cross them. And if you do cross, we will die. Or the great proportion of us will die. But I, you see, so that's the kind of alternatives I've had to consider. That way, the true communists could get on to peace. And if this guy, now this isn't in that situation, but I'm saying if it were, I'm not facing that situation. But that's a situation that could happen. God damn it, it nearly did. And I never want to be caught like I was caught that night, not knowing whether to go back in dorm 3 or 4 or 5 or get on a fucking boat. And you get on the goddamn boat when I finally try to get people life. And we couldn't get a clearance into Cuba because there hadn't been no plans laid. Everybody was fucking around. I knew this was going to happen. And I'd asked for plans to be laid, but people had dilly-dallied. And we didn't have anything cleared in Cuba. People were working hard. Some of the people that are here now were working hard to open doors. But Jesus Christ, you don't open doors in 24 hours. And we didn't have any time. Time was running out on us. Sons of bitches were all around us. So we made up our mind. We sat here. Some of you ought to have had to go through it. Fuck, you'd be better people than you. You ought to have had to stand out there in that yard and decide and have to talk how we're going to do it and how we're going to get rid of all of our bodies and how we're going to go together so there won't be nobody left. You ought to have had to go through it. It might have done something for you. And then we figure, well, shit. If there's a chance at life, we got to take that chance to do something for communism, not just lay down here and die. Just lay down, roll over, and play it like Rover. So I had my boat, and the seaman said, "I cannot do anything with the Cudjo. It will not take all of our people. 45 tons or 47 tons at the maximum." Charlie and I worried over that goddamn thing, and we finally got down to the square foot and decided, well, you can put the bodies on there. Little medical supplies, but it won't take anything more, and then you're really going to be chancing it down the river. But at least it was a chance. And if we sunk, son of a bitch, drowning, they say, is one of the easiest ways in the world to die. I nearly drowned once trying to save somebody's life. I nearly drowned. You often drown that way, but I nearly drowned, and oh, how peaceful that was as I floated down the bottom. It's just a numbing kind of sleepy sensation. Some of you people get so fucking nervous every time you talk about death. You've been brainwashed. Capitalists have made you robots. They made you robots. They teach you, don't, death is the enemy, death is the enemy, so that you will work your ass off. 310 years, you work just like a goddamn little old slave. You work 310 years, and you'll never, 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 never die because it's death is the enemy. And all that was your enemy was the work you were doing in that capitalist state. Getting up, you were dying every day. Getting up and working all day and coming home and falling in your goddamn bed and drag your ass out every day and couldn't pay for your house and barely could pay for your food and couldn't afford it. If you had a major operation, you'd have had to die because you couldn't afford it. If you had some incurable eye disease, there's no way in the fucking world you could have paid the bill. You were dying all the time. Them fuckers telling you, death is your last enemy. Christian preacher saying, death, death, shun death. Got to overcome death. We got to have victory over death. The final enemy, death. And the enemy was birth. The Chinese had that years ago when they said, rejoice when you die and cry when you're born. And we all called them heathen. We went over there to the Bible trying to convert those fools. We said they were idiots and we were the fools. The Chinese had it. They were wise. Said, rejoice at the outgoing. Cry at the incoming. But when you die, baby, you are asleep. At least you got a spell and you got a chance. Russian roulette, maybe 1 out of 5, you'll end up a little better shit than you're in now. Unless you commit suicide. At least there's a spare time. I know with one cycle of my life, I know at least I had a few years in between. Shit. I got 10 years of rest somewhere. Before they run me through, when they run me through Lenin and I come back this time, fuck, I rested at least 10 years. I think Lenin went out at 22 and I didn't come back till 31. I was damn near 10 years. Somewhere I didn't know anything. I'd like to have 9 years rest. Some of you, quiet. Now I hope it's more longer than that. I'd like to have about 9 billion light years of rest. I'd settle with joy and really dance on my nose if they promised me I could have eternity of knowing nothing. To just go down and die like a worm and be stomped on and that'd be it. But don't commit suicide because you will make a fucking mistake. You'll be back. I've seen them come back. Now, what was I saying? Talking about death. Be sure you have to piss now because I want you to think about death. Dying. Tongue hanging out. Choking. All I do. It should ought to be. Too serious about the fucking subject. Get all nervous. I'm going to go to sleep and then hide down to getting deeper down the coat. You're going to die someday, honey. You old bitch, you're going to die. If you don't die, old bitch, alone, Lord's going to get something on and blow her up, and you too. Look how they just check you out. Check you out. They ain't asleep. Hell no, they ain't asleep. They are closed minds. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. You're going to believe it, even though you look like you're getting stooped and stooped and stooping. We'll have to die before you're going to fall over in the grave. Keep stooping. Just watch, folk. They just don't want to face reality. And the capitalists, they wanted to work your ass and then retire you at 65. They don't give a shit after 65. They used to be 72. And they say, oh, you got to work. And it's blessed to work, you know. 60 and 10. Man's life's 60 and 10. Work out there for that fucking Ford. Work for Rockefeller. Work for the Chrysler Corporation. Work, you son of a bitch. Because when you die, you're going to glory land. And anybody ought to have more sense to be taken in by that shit, but we got took in by that shit. Ford didn't believe in no, he didn't believe in no afterlife. He didn't believe in no heaven. He circulated Bibles to get people to believe in it. He said, what, did they give $1 million of Bibles 1 year? They said, why you do that, Ford? You don't ever do anything for anybody. I said, it's nigger control. Sure is. It's the only thing that ever would have controlled us niggers. Was give us that Bible and tell us, bye and bye. When the morning comes. Hey, when all the saints are gathered home. Rockefeller stood back there and just laughed. Ha ha ha, look at them fool niggers. Ha 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 ha. You got shoes and I got shoes. All I got chilling got shoes. Walking around barefooted. Damn bunions, sores between your toes, couldn't hardly walk. But by and by, you got shoes, I got shoes, and all got you. And we believe that shit until Jim Jones come along. Some of you don't like to admit it, but you believe that shit until Jim Jones come along. I know there'd be 50 people standing there. I knew it all the time. I knew it before Jim Jones come along. You damn liar, you didn't, because you singing the fucking song. You were singing, swing low, sweet chariot. You couldn't get a fucking ride in a Model T Ford, and you were talking about a chariot going to swing low for you.